Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
This week on the Beacon Broadcast, we have been addressing the subject of church growth, God's way, from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And today being Friday is the last day that we will devote to this subject, and so we need to wrap up what we have been considering so that we can move back into 1 Peter on Monday of next week. So, what have we seen thus far? Well, in the beginning of the chapter, we found that it is important that there be unity among believers. If there's going to be church growth, there needs to be harmony among the saints. In the first place, it's not even healthy for a church to grow larger if it is not unified, if it is not strong spiritually, if it is not mature, if there is misunderstanding about basic Bible doctrine and bickering and division among the people. Why would you want a church like that to get larger? What will that accomplish? That'll only make things worse. And so unity among believers, which, as we have learned, depends upon a teaching ministry, bringing people to a common understanding of essential Christian doctrine. That's the Bible way to create unity. Beyond that, we need to understand the subject of gifts, and not so much the particular gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but rather this whole idea that Christ has given to His church the exact gifts that are needed to carry out our assignment while Christ is in heaven until He returns. He has left His work in the hands of His church, and He has given to His church all of the gifts that are necessary to accomplish His eternal purposes. And He has gifted every believer, every member, but He has given leaders who are to help equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So that's basically what we worked our way through on the broadcast yesterday. And now we'll try to wrap it up today on this Friday, February 21. Thank you for joining us, and thank you so, so very, very much for remembering that we are dependent upon your financial gifts to continue teaching God's Word on the Beacon Broadcast. All right, so we have learned that gifted leaders equip the saints, and then equipped saints bring about the growth of the church. That's exactly what we read here. Verse 11, and He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. That's God's plan for church growth. Gifted leaders, and in our context today, that is primarily pastor teachers. Evangelists are missionaries, and they're part of the process too, and I don't want to go back through all that again. A very, very important process in the beginning, pioneering work, planting new churches, and their involvement in teaching those churches at the beginning. But apostles and prophets have passed off the scene with the apostolic era. So, for most of you who are listening to me today, the main issue is pastor teachers, called by God, equipped by God, empowered by God to do what? To teach the saints what they need to know to do the work of the ministry. Again, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. And so gifted teachers equip the saints by teaching God's word, and equipped saints do the work of the ministry, resulting in the building up of Christ's body. That's God's plan for church growth. Now, this continues to build with the maturing of believers, which of course is what pastors do. They teach and shepherd, they guide and guard the flock and help believers to mature. And so that's really what the rest of this passage is all about. So back to verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till verse 13, we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself, that is, the building up of itself in love. Now, that's a mouthful, this section that I just read from verses 13 through 16. And to read it, it sounds pretty obtuse. So let's see if we can work through it. How does the church grow, and what does the equipping of the saints contribute to the growth of the church? Well, the equipping of the saints is maturing believers to be able to operate effectively, to be able to serve the Lord effectively. That's what is going on here. And so what does a mature saint look like? And what does a mature church look like? Well, we can follow it through this section that I just read. Number one, mature in unity. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, it really takes us back to the beginning of the chapter, doesn't it? Where we learn that the unity of believers is vitally important to healthy church growth, to God-honoring, God-empowered church growth. Well, now we're coming to the end of the passage, and we come right back to the very same truth again. Unity in doctrine, because it's the pastor teachers who are teaching the Word of God that equip the saints for the work of the ministry till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect, that is, a mature man. It is this growing in knowledge that equips us to serve and that develops us in unity. Again, doctrine doesn't divide, doctrine unites. The devil, our adversary, sure is clever. He can take the truth from the Bible and turn it on its head and get everybody believing the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Most Christians have been taught that doctrine divides. We don't want that. And so they have been willing to accept a counterfeit unity, which is no spiritual unity at all. It is anything but. Doctrine doesn't divide. Doctrine unites. And so God's people need to be taught carefully, patiently, line upon line, precept upon precept, but that's exactly what pastor teachers are supposed to do. That's job number one for the pastor. And so saints are to be brought to maturity and unity, maturity and knowledge. Knowledge and unity, of course, go together here, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no longer children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting? Knowing sound doctrine well enough that we are not deceived by counterfeit doctrine, by every wind of doctrine that blows. Now, folks, in the day in which we live, in which there is so much exposure to so many different flavors of Christianity via television, via radio, via all other kinds of electronic media, and people hear something that they like, and wow, they accept that. Then they hear something else that they like, and okay, they accept that. That sounds good, too. And pretty soon, they've got a smorgasbord of contradictory ideas that are completely opposite and contradictory one to another, and they don't even know it. Talk about confused people. But to have and to try to grow a church with that kind of a situation, again, the best thing you can do there is stop the growth. Don't bring anybody else into this mess, and get the believers up to speed so that they have a knowledge of the Word of God. Believers that are mature in unity, mature in knowledge, mature in Christlikeness, mature in articulation, no more children. That word children in the Greek is a word that means non-speaker. And of course, it speaks of a very small child that's too young to be able to speak. Babbles nonsense. But that's a description of a lot of Christians. They babble nonsense. It's not that they can't speak at all. They can say words, but they can't articulate sound doctrine. They're babbling nonsense. Well, they need to be mature in their ability not only to understand, but to disseminate sound doctrine. Again, what are they going to do? They're going to go out there to recruit people to come to Christ and to join with us in our church when they are all confused about doctrine. They don't understand the gospel even very well and don't understand other issues of Christian doctrine. Well, that's no formula for church growth. That's a formula for disaster. So mature in articulation, mature in discernment. Again, no longer children tossed to and fro. Mature in love, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. May grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love, that takes a lot of maturity, doesn't it? To be able to speak the truth in a loving way. Most people either are, number one, afraid to speak the truth. They think the loving thing to do is to not to bring it up if it might offend somebody, or to speak the truth so harshly, so angrily, so bitterly, so abrasively that they're not speaking it in love. It takes maturity. And so, there's a lot of work involved in this. But when that work is done, it culminates in believers that are able to build up the church. And that's what we get to in verse 16. The whole body joined together and causing growth for the edifying of itself in love. That's God's plan for church growth. That's the proper development of Christ's body. And when the body is functioning as it should, growth is the natural byproduct. Evangelism is really a byproduct of spiritual health more than a program of human activity. And so the formula is every believer a gifted believer, and every believer a contributing believer. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.